Welcome to the INSS podcast. My name is Ari Heistein, and I'm here with the Executive Director, General Amos Yadlin, to discuss the Iranian nuclear issue. Recently, we have seen major developments on this front that lead us to believe that tensions are rising. On the U.S. end, we've seen the designation of the IRGC as a terrorist group. We've seen the White House decide to end oil waivers to Iran's chief energy export destinations, including China and India. And we've seen additional sanctions on Iran's metal industry. In return, Iran has responded by issuing many threats to the U.S. and its allies, including warnings that it will close the Straits of Hormuz, return to a full-scale nuclear program, and cut off Saudi oil exports. It is probable that Iran was responsible for the recent sabotage of international shipping off the coast of the UAE. So we hope General Yadlin can bring us some clarity into what is happening and what the next steps should be in order to prevent a dangerous escalation and deterioration. General, you urged caution when President Trump was pulling out of the nuclear deal. Now it seems some of the risks that you had predicted are emerging: a potential military confrontation and the potential for an unrestrained Iranian nuclear program. Is the smart thing to do to return to the old agreement?
No, this is not the right move. When Trump contemplated whether to leave the agreement or not, the INSS research team worked very hard and came with a recommendation to correct and to amend the current JCPOA, but not unilaterally withdraw from it. The idea was that the agreement is a problematic agreement. It is not a second Holocaust, as some in Israel claimed. It's not the best diplomatic achievement of the century, as some in America argues. It is an agreement that in the first 7 to 10 years, it has some advantages. It rolled back Iran and stuck them a year from the bomb, but towards the end of the agreement, the sunset clause basically give Iran unlimited nuclear capabilities with legitimacy from the international community. And this position Iran zero distance from a bomb, cannot be stopped. So we recommend to stay in the deal as long as the deal is helping to stop Iran, and make sure that this regime that called to destroy Israel will not have the capability to go to a nuclear bomb. But this is behind us. President Trump, exactly a year ago, decided to withdraw and to apply a maximum pressure policy towards Iran. The Iranians, on the other hand, decided on strategic patience. They say maybe the American sanctions will not be effective. Maybe we'll get a compensation from the Europeans, from the Russians, from the Chinese. And they looked very hopefully to a change of administration in D.C. in 2020. What we saw in the last months, basically, is that the U.S. not only achieving a very effective sanction regime by applying secondary sanctions on European companies, but also ratcheting up the sanction by the measures you mentioned in the beginning of our conversation. No waivers for export of oil from Iran, basically aiming at zero export of Iranian oil, then designating IRGC, and then some other sanctions on the iron, steel, aluminium trade, and so on and so forth. So this basically, I think, put the Iranians on the horn of the dilemma. They have to decide whether continue with strategic patience or trying to deter the Americans from more actions against them, trying to show the Trump administration that there is a price to the policy of maximum pressure. And here we come to see the Iranians, checking their possibilities and alternatives of how to cope with America. I basically look at three areas, three realms. The nuclear activity realm, the military and terror realm, and doing something on the energy oil market, which basically telling the rest of the world, if we are not exporting oil, nobody will export oil. So in each one of these realms, we do have a lower activity, a medium activity, and a very strong activity. On the nuclear issue, you can go to the gray area of the JCPOA. You can do something that is not abolishing the JCPOA, but in a way, in some of its article, you are crossing what the JCPOA is limiting you. For example, 300 kilograms of enriched uranium that is part of the deal, you start to accumulate more instead of enriching to 3.75, you're enriching to 20. So this is staying in the JCPOA, but challenging it. Second stage, leaving the JCPOA as the Americans withdraw. And third, and the most dangerous one, is leaving the NPT, the Non-Proliferation Treaty. And then you can even go to the bomb, as North Koreans have done. On the terror and military realm, you can do activities with proxies. Somebody attack shipping in the Gulf. Somebody attack drilling installation in Saudi Arabia. The Iranians know very well how to do it. They have killed 500 American soldiers in Iraq in the last decade, when America was in Iraq. They have killed Marines in Beirut in the 1980s. The second stage here is a direct attack from Iran by UAV, by missiles. And the third is a direct confrontation, all-out war, which, of course, they don't want to be there. On the oil realm, once again, some signals, some unidentified, not taking any responsibility, but giving the rest of the world a signal that Iran is unhappy. This is exactly what happened in the last 3 days. Second is doing it with their fast speed boat and attacking directly tankers with oil to the west, to India, to China, and disrupt the oil market. And third is mining and closing officially of the Hormuz Strait. The Iranians basically decided on the less risky steps in all the three areas. They announced to the Europeans that they will not obey some of the JCPOA restrictions if in 60 days the Europeans will not help them to overcome the American sanctions. We saw the attacks, the unidentified attack that they haven't taken any responsibility to on oil tankers in the Persian Gulf, very close to the UAE, and today we are also getting some information on UAV attacks on Saudi drill installations. We haven't seen them yet attacking American soldiers in Iraq. There was an intelligence information that was transferred to the US from a friendly ally in the Middle East. And last week, we saw Secretary Pompeo, instead visiting Chancellor Merkel in Germany, divert his airplane to Iraq to discuss it with the Iraqis. And the Americans basically issue a warning about Iranian intentions to do a terror attacks in the region. So no doubt the tension is higher than it was a month ago. And we are entering a year that both sides will challenge the other side. However, both sides will try very much not to reach a full-scale war.
So, as you said, it seems like Iran's strategic patience is wearing thin. And so what are the U.S. policy options in terms of responding to the Iranian provocations?
First of all, the U.S. decided to send more forces to the Persian Gulf. We saw the Lincoln aircraft carrier. We saw a group of B-52 bombers. More Patriot batteries. However, very much like the Iranian decision, this is more of a signal. It's forces that are ready to a quick response, but it's not enough forces to go to a full-scale war. The New York Times published today that the Pentagon is considering sending 120,000 troops to the Middle East. This is basically the scope of forces that went to the second Gulf War. We are not there, but the Americans are sending the signal or doing at least the preparation for such escalation. America haven't used its strategic forces like the B-2, and other capabilities that if the Iranians will make the mistake and will attack American forces directly, I think America can project power in an impressive way that they don't have to prepare in advance.
So it seems that after Trump's withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal and his ramping up of the escalation and the pressure on Iran, the maximum pressure campaign, seems like all of this has really been because he wants to talk to Iran. He recently gave the Swiss diplomats his phone number to pass on to the Iranians. He's invited them to reach out to him. And essentially what it seems like he wants from them, from Iran, is a JCPOA 2.0. What do you think that should look like?
Before we go into the JCPOA 2.0, you raised a very important issue. I can see both sides knowing the devastating consequences of going to war, trying to look for a channel of negotiation. Formally, both of them against it. Or let me put it in a different way. Both of them raise a very high bar to entering negotiation. The Americans have the 12 demands of Pompeo. And the Iranians ask the American to apologize as well as going back to the JCPOA. But President Trump, when he speaks about Iran, he speaks basically on the nuclear issue and forget the rest of Pompeo 12 demands. And a very interesting speech by President Rouhani 3 days ago, basically saying to the people, we are in a very tough situation, even tougher than was the war between Iran and Iraq, which is the legendary war that this regime is referring to. But what happened in the end of this war? The Supreme Leader, Khomeini, decided against his commitment for 8 years that he will not reach an agreement with Saddam Hussein, decided that the situation is so bad that he should drink the poison glass because he has to finish the war. So maybe Rouhani starting to prepare the public opinion that the situation is so bad that they have to go and reach negotiate a second deal. What I would like to see in this second deal, it has to correct the deficiencies in JCPOA 1.0 of 2015. And there are five issues that are important. First is the sunset. The US and Israel cannot afford this regime coming to the sunset conditions. A permission to legitimate full-scale nuclear program, zero distance from the bomb. So sunset should be removed 30, 40 years ahead, or if there is another regime in Iran. Second is inspection. Inspection should be everywhere, every time. JCPOA gives the Iranians a lot of leeway to avoid an effective inspection. Third is PMD, a potential military dimension. The Iranians lied about it. It was a pretext, a precondition for the whole agreement that they will tell the truth about past weaponization activities. A Mossad operation discovered that they have done it and they have lied. So you have to go back and get the right and truthful answers from the Iranians on the weapon activity in the past. Then there is the issue of the ballistic missiles that is not included in JCPOA 2015. Last but not least is the Iranian subversion and terror activities all over the Middle East in their attempt to have hegemony in the Middle East. All these five articles must be amended in JCPOA 2.0.
So, Amos, it's very interesting that you mentioned that you think that it's possible that Rouhani is signaling an interest in meeting with Trump, potentially negotiating with him. What that seems to be one of Iran's options. What are the other options in front of Iran, and how realistic do you think each of them are?
They can still stick to the strategic patient. Mm-hmm. With strategic patient, it's usually come the term of resistance economy. With strategic patient come the term resistance economy, which means we will suffer, but we will reach the point that we will overcome our enemies when Trump will leave the stage. So this is one option. The second option is to make the maximum pressure very costly to the Americans and move from the first stage in each one of the three areas to the second stage. They may go and negotiate at the end of the day. This is basically the three options that they have. The most dangerous for Israel and for the US and for the international community is that Iran will go to a full-scale nuclear program, withdrawing from JCPOA and withdrawing from NPT. Because in this case, the ball is back in the American and Israeli yard, what you are doing about it. And then if diplomatic and economic measures are not stopping the Iranians, you go back to the, unfortunately, to the military option. And this is a tough decision, both in Washington and Jerusalem.
So of the three options that you mentioned, only one of them is negotiation, and then there are two that do not necessarily include a new nuclear deal. What do you think the U.S. and Israel might do in a scenario in which there is no JCPOA 2.0? How can they prepare for a scenario like that?
What you ask is whether the Israelis and the Americans are intensively working today on the military option. And the military option was basically put aside after the JCPOA was signed in 2015. You have to go back to build the force, to have enough capabilities to destroy Iran nuclear capabilities, if this is the last resort and the only alternative left to stop Iran. You have to train the forces, you have to have current intelligence, but this is not the format to discuss this option, but it must be ready. And I have one remark on Israel or Israel IDF multi-year program, which called Gideon. When Gideon was crafted by the former Israeli chief of staff, the JCPOA was in place and gave the assumption was that at least in the 5-7 first years, it is a good agreement. So you don't have to prepare the military option. Now this assumption is gone. And there is a huge consequences if you take this this assumption on the budget and the preparation of IDF for the Iranian challenge. The fact that the JCPOA is not valid anymore has an implication to building the force of the IDF and to its readiness for a military option in Iran.
A little closer to home, we have to our north, Iranian entrenchment in Syria. We have Hezbollah in Lebanon. How does this nuclear issue and the tension with Iran over the nuclear issue, well, largely, but not only, also related to regional issues, how does that affect Israel's security along its northern border?
Yeah, I think you touch on a very important issue, and this is the strategy of Iran vis-a-vis Israel and vis-a-vis the whole region. The Iranians are developing the nuclear arm of their strategy to have a strategic umbrella to their hegemonian activity, which are conventional in Syria, in Yemen, in Iraq, in Lebanon. On the other hand, their conventional effort is among their goals is to protect the nuclear development along the line of the North Korean model, that you have a lot of firepower vis-a-vis your enemies to deter them from dealing with your nuclear program. So when Israel looking at Iranians in Syria, Hezbollah is the main proxy of Iran, and the nuclear issue, it's the same issue. It's the issue of Iran building a force to destroy Israel. And the fact that you are dealing with Iranians in Syria or with Hezbollah is not to say that you are closing your eyes to the nuclear threat and vice versa.
Thank you very much, General, for an interesting and enlightening discussion. That's all the time we have for today, and thank you for listening.